Saturday evening to you right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hope you guys are having a good weekend. Soul did not have a good weekend. In fact, the Soul had a really bad weekend. It was ugly. We won't talk about that one. We'll kind of put that one. We'll wipe that clean from the slate. We'll go into the playoffs. We'll have a different mindset on everything once the playoffs start next week. Tyler Zuli right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian McLaughlin producing the show. You'll hear him as well. Of course, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, a Beasley Media Group station. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. And tonight, I am feeling kind of odd about the Philadelphia Phillies. And the reason that I'm feeling a little bit odd about the Philadelphia Phillies is the two names that have been brought in over the last 48 hours have just been so weird to me. So weird to me. First, the Phillies get Mike Morin from the Minnesota Twins for cash considerations. And we'll get to that one in a minute. And then the Phillies sign Drew Smyly. They're working on what would be a major league deal. The word on the street is that he could pitch tomorrow in place of Nick Pivetta, who, by the way, thank you, Brian, is currently a reliever or pitching as a reliever for the first time in quite some time since that extra inning game. How can any of this be good? How can any of this be any better? And what I want to say about Drew Smyly before I really get to my point about Mike Morin is Nick Pivetta had a 5-something ERA before being demoted to the bullpen. And you go and bring a guy who was not only a not in the major leagues, he had a terrible ERA with the Texas Rangers to begin the year. Not only was he not in the major leagues, he had a 5 ERA for the San Antonio Missions. $5 to the first person who could tell me who the San Antonio Missions are the minor league affiliate of, because that's my problem. He had a 5 ERA in the minor leagues. At this point, we might as well just put out a raffle ticket, pick a seat, a row, a section, and say, you, come on down. You're the next contestant on pitch for the Phillies. Now let's get to Mike Morin. Mike Morin, the Phillies get as a middle reliever for cash considerations. He got DFA'd by the Twins when CJ Cron and Eddie Rosario were both reinstated from the 7-day IL. He has a 3.18 ERA and 22 2/3 innings pitched. And the reason he was DFA'd was because he was out of options, and they needed to make room on the 25-man roster for those two guys. So with the DFA, they have a few days to trade him, and the fact that they got anything for Mike Morin, meaning cash considerations, I think is a win for the Twins. So Sir Anthony Dominguez gets transferred to the 60-day IL. J.D. Hammer goes to AAA. That's how they make room for Mike Morin on the 25 and on the 40-man roster. I have to imagine that the Twins, who now have 3 open spots on their 40-man roster, are going to make a big push come the trade deadline. But the problem being is that the Minnesota Twins, and I went all through Minnesota Twins Twitter today, and apparently Twins fans are just as irrational as we are here. They swear they need pitching. They swear they need bullpen help. So what does that say about a guy who had a 3-1 ERA? They DFA'd him. They're a playoff team. The Phillies are hardly a playoff team, but hanging around. So what does that say about Mike Morin to you? It concerns me that this guy was given up so easily to be DFA'd simply because their young pitchers had options. I understand that's how baseball works, but there's a concern for me that this guy, who, by the way, outside of his rookie year in 2014, was not very good, has not been very good in his major league career. So he comes up with the Angels, has a really good 2014, has a couple injury-laden seasons, and then all of a sudden is back to a 3-1 ERA. But there's concern for me. 610-632-0975. Is there concern for you about the things and the moves that the Phillies have made over the last 2 days? Because we all wanted the Phillies to make some moves. We all wanted arms. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing the same up, down, up, down, up, down. It's like a carousel that we can't get off. It's a continuous carousel of stink. It's Yoxel Rios. It's Austin Davis. It's Ranger Suarez. They're up and they're down, and they're up and they're down, and they're up and they're down. I can't do it anymore. But to me, bringing in a guy like Mike Morin, who's had a good season, but got shipped away for nothing from the Minnesota Twins, that says to me, well, the Phillies are trying, but they're not really trying all that hard. And bringing in a guy like Drew Smyly, who had an 8 ERA in the majors and a 5 ERA in the minors, tells me that things are not going to get much better. 610-632-0975, are you concerned about the Phillies' moves? Not just the Phillies in general, the Phillies' moves that they made over the last 2 days, because they seem to be almost like putting blinders over us. And something else I want to get into while we're here. We have about 20 minutes until we hand things over to our friends at Checkpoint Radio. The Phillies announced today, earlier today, that next Sunday they would be wearing their 1979 throwback all burgundy jerseys. Burgundy top, burgundy pants, and not only that, they have a zipper on them. It's not buttons, it's a zipper. And I've seen a lot of polarizing comments on Twitter. Either people love them, or people like myself, they hate them. And quite honestly, that might be the worst jersey I've ever seen. If it's not the worst, it's top three. So I want to have a little fun with you guys in this next 20 minutes as well. Brian, I want to get your thoughts on this one as well. What is the worst throwback jersey you've seen that is getting worn nowadays? Because I am not a fan of throwback jerseys. You wear the throwback jerseys once or twice, I get it, it's a nostalgia thing, but they need to look good. I can't think
what's
of
worse. It was those Eagles throwbacks, the ones that the yellow and the blue.
The yellow, oh, the 70th or whatever they were against. They wore them against the Lions.
They were horrible.
Yeah, they were hideous. They were hideous. And the helmet had nothing on it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not anything to do with the Eagles, in my opinion, but they were hideous.
Well, and I understand that it was the yellow jacket jerseys. I get that. And they were honoring that, but they were awful. But these red jerseys, to me, they freak me out. So if you have an old school throwback jersey that maybe is worn as an alternate jersey, that you hate, or maybe give me one that you love. If there's one that you really, really love, let's hear that one too. 610-632-0975. But really the main topic today is the fact that I am so concerned over the Phillies' two moves today, over the last 48 hours, I should say, that people might get complacent, because it is middle relief help. At least it's a shot. But if a playoff team DFAs a guy, straight up DFAs him, because he's out of options and they want to keep their young guys from not using their options, that's concerning to me. You know, Pat Egan made a really good point the other day. He and I were discussing this, and he had mentioned that it was more along the lines of Drew Smyly, when the Tampa Bay Rays, who were the Devil Rays at the time, let Paul Abbott go, and had a 6.4 ERA, and then the Phillies brought him in, and he was just as bad. You know, you could polish a you-know-what up as much as you want, but at the end of the day, it's still there. So these kind of moves, these bottom feeder moves, aren't going to win you a division, unless you believe you're out. I don't even know if they're going to help you win a wild card, because quite honestly, as poor as Nick Pivette has been this season, I don't want a guy with a 5 ERA for the San Antonio Missions who opted out of his contract because the Phillies called him up and said, hey, by the way, you're going to be our guy. I can't imagine that conversation, how that conversation went down.
You know what they're starting to do? They're just getting other people's Pivettas and Velasquez.
Right, so if you already have your own Pivetta and Velasquez, what do you need more of them for?
Smyly is brutal. It's a waste of time. I mean, I guess you're doing something, but he stinks.
Well, and that's kind of when I wrote my show sheet today, and I kind of just typed up a little bit of a half page, you know, notes. I said the only thing that I can positively say here is that if Morin and Smyly both stink, at least they're a different stink. And that comes back to what I said earlier with, you know, you bring up Yoxel Rios, you bring up Austin Davis, you bring up Ranger Suarez, JD Hammer, they're up, they're down. I can't do it anymore. I can't sit here and go on my Twitter and every day see The Phillies have optioned pitcher A and recalled pitcher B. And then 3 days later, it's the Phillies have optioned pitcher B and recalled pitcher C. And then 3 days later, it's the Phillies have optioned pitcher C and recalled pitcher A. You are just cycling through the same thing over and over and over again because there's nothing available. And this comes back to, again, when you look at what the contract was, why did you not go get Dallas Keuchel? I didn't want the years, but when you find out that the Atlanta Braves get him for a year and $13 million, it's A, 1 year, and B, it's just money. And he's got, what, a 3.8 ERA? I think something along those lines. He's got a 3.8 ERA in Atlanta. Let's take a look so far. I think it might be a little bit better because he had a decent start his last time out. He's got a 3.58 ERA, and he's 3-3 in six starts. But he's doing exactly what you expect Dallas Keuchel to do. The strikeouts are low. The hits per nine is high. The whip's a little high. But he's a 500 pitcher with a 3.5 ERA. And let's run through this real quick. And Brian, you can check my math because I was never really good at math as a kid. Aaron Nola, 3.7. Now, that's a different story because he had a really poor start to the year. So we won't even include that. Jake Arrieta, 4.4. Zach Eflin, 4.1. Nick Pivetta, 5.7. Vince Velasquez, 4.8. Jared Eichhoff, 5.7. If you take all those numbers and then you throw 3.58 in there, that puts you at what spot in the rotation, rank-wise? That's number one.
Yep.
Number one.
Well, I think the more concerning thing is that they came into the year thinking, well, and still did until Keuchel was signed, that their pitchers were good enough.
Yeah, that they didn't need them.
That's scary.
Listen, if you thought that Pivetta was ready to turn the corner, because Pivetta was the guy that I thought might be able to be the breakout guy. If Pivetta was going to be the breakout guy and Arrieta had a decent season, you had a legitimate chance to have a good one and two solid threes, which kind of give you a two by default. And then you could work through 4 and 5. But you don't have that.
Yeah, you have Nola, Arrieta, who's a 4, and then 3.5s.
That's the thing is, if you have a 1, a 4, that's 5, and 3.5s, that gives you 20. If you divide that by 5, your average starting number is a 4.
Yeah.
You've got 5 4s. I know that's not how averages, that's not how baseball works, but on average, you have 5 4s.
On probably a World Series winning team, Nola's your 2 guy. Like the Astros, they have Garrett Cole's
or
two.
I don't know.
Verlander's the one.
It's funny you say that. And I was having this conversation with, I forget who it was the other day, but I was having this conversation with somebody. And they said that they weren't ready to announce Nola as an ace either. And I kind of tend to disagree with that. I think Nola is ace stuff. Because when he's on, he's unhittable.
I agree with you to a certain extent. See, I would same with Garrett Cole. If he was on the Phillies, he would be the ace. If he was on Atlanta, he'd be the ace. But Verlander's there. So on a World Series winning team, I feel like you got the dominant starter and then Nola as your 1A.
I think that's fair because he's young. But here's the thing. I mean, if you take a look at all of his starts since June 21st, this is Aaron Nola, because he gave up 5 runs, which is kind of weird. The Phillies won the game, but he gave up 5 runs against the Braves on June 15th. Since June 21st, he has given up 1-0-0-1-1-4. So that's 7 earned runs in 6 starts, excuse me. He has lowered his ERA from 4.89 to 3.77. That's a legit ace because he's figured it out. And I've said this for a long time. I think Aaron Nola was hurt to begin the season. He figured it out. So to me, Aaron Nola is in fact an ace. And I think he's an ace on a winning team. But the problem is you've got 4-4 or 3-4s or 1-4 and 4-5s or whatever number you want to make it. You've got a bunch of bums. That's really the only way to put it. 610-632-0975. This weekend's programming is brought to you by TurnersvilleJeep.com. During the summer of Jeep sales events, save up to 25% off MSRP and choose over 800 new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, Compass Renegades, and the all-new Gladiator. That's online at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Let's head to the phones in just a moment, actually. So my fault, Brian. I apologize. We'll head to the phones now. We'll go to our friend Matt in Arizona. He wants to talk about throwback jerseys. Good or bad, Matt? What do you got?
Dude, the Steelers jerseys, those Bumblebee uniforms.
Oh, the ones where the numbers look like they're like stapled on with paper?
Yeah.
Oh, they're awful.
The worst jerseys I've ever seen. And I know you guys mentioned the Eagles throwbacks, which maybe just because it's the Eagles, I kind of like them. But the Jets have a very, very similar uniform, and they're terrible.
Oh, when they're the Titans of New York jersey. I think that's the AFL jersey. Yeah, so I'm curious. If you don't like the, is it because it's an Eagles jersey, you kind of have a feel for it? Or is it just, is there something different about it that the Jets jersey you don't like?
It's probably because it's an Eagles jersey. If it was any other team, I'd probably hate it.
That's fair.
It's hard to say I hate it because it's an Eagles jersey, but the Jets one is very similar and it's awful. So I probably do dislike the Eagles one as well. But the Steelers Bumblebee is one of the worst.
Absolutely hideous. Matt, before I let you go, let me ask you, with these two moves, the Smiley and Morin move, do they move the needle at all for you?
No. We signed a dude with an ERA of a million.
Might be close to a million. Matt, I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. He's not wrong. Close to a million. And it's something more along the lines of 8 in the MLB and 5 in the minor leagues, but 5 for the San Antonio Missions does nothing for me. And they're going to play this off. If they don't make any more deadline moves, if they don't make any more deadline moves and they don't make the playoffs, they're going to play this off and say, yeah, you know, we tried. We made a couple small moves. It's like last year all over again.
Your boy Mike Morin's in the game.
Oh, he is pitching.
Yeah, he's in right now.
I'll take a look. Yeah, keep me updated. If he throws a 1-2-3 inning, I'd like him to call me from the bullpen phone and tell me to shut up. And really, quite honestly, I have nothing against the guy. He's 3-1 ERA in 22 starts. And from what I've read up on him, he's actually better against lefties than he is against righties.
I think you hit a nail on the head, though, with if they're going to stink, at least it's a different scent of stink. Because it is brutal watching the Ranger Suarez and the Oxiel Rios. It's just nonstop.
Well, and it's the same thing over and over again. If these were new guys, if they were continually churning up minor leaguers and they were all bad, you know, they're trying different arms. But the problem is, I don't think people, my biggest gripe about a lot of things about the Phillies is people don't quite understand 40-man rosters. And they just have this, oh, bring him up. Because we've heard it over the last 3 weeks with Alec Boehm. Bring Alec Boehm up and see what happens. Alec Boehm's not on the 40-man roster. And in order for him to be on the 40-man roster, you have to make a move, a corresponding move. Now, granted, there's an easy one sitting right there, because I don't ever want to see Mitch Walding's face in a Phillies uniform again. But that's beside the point. A lot of these young arms, except for Adonis Medina, who's not ready and is also a starter, are not on the 40-man roster because they're not subject to the Rule 5 draft yet. And they're not going to put them on there until that time comes. You're not going to see Spencer Howard in the majors. It's just not going to happen.
I also think you made a pretty good point about the Phillies are, quote, trying, but they're not trying that hard.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're, I don't know how you felt. I mean, I was the biggest tryhard on the planet when it came to gym, like gym classes. But it's kind of like when you're playing kickball in school gym and you have any semblance of athleticism whatsoever. So you kind of don't try all that hard, but you kind of are like backhanded trying. That's how I feel they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, yeah, see, we're doing stuff. Look, hey, we're doing stuff, but this stuff isn't that good.
And you know what the problem is? You know who was stuff last year? Justin Bour was stuff. You know, Asdrubal Cabrera was stuff. Aaron Loop was stuff. I don't want Aaron Loop. I don't want Justin Bour.
Yeah, it was like a bunch of Band-Aids.
Because here's the thing. Either go for it or don't. Don't deplete the farm system anymore. And you know me, and we've had this conversation many times. I am proven over prospect.
Yeah, you are.
But if the proven is a C-level proven and the prospect is a B-level prospect, I'm not making that move.
Yeah, you're a guy that would trade the prospects for the proven
players. Oh, absolutely,
so,
which is why
I thought
the Real Muto move was the best move they made all offseason.
So it's like, if you're going in the pool, you better go under or just don't go in the pool at all.
And you better not only go under, you better go to the deep end and try to do a handstand.
Dive in.
You better dive in, do a handstand, inevitably get a pink belly, but at least you got to try.
Yep.
You've got to give it a shot. You know, we've got a lot of fun things going on here at the Fanatic, and before we go, I got to kind of talk about a couple of them. First thing, This one sounds like a lot of fun. I'm really excited to listen to this one. Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez will have a roundtable broadcast live from Riley's Pub at Valley Brook Country Club this coming Tuesday. It starts at 10 a.m. They're joined by guest Super Bowl champ Brent Celek and Birds insider Tim McManus. It's a pre-training camp football roundtable. Again, that's at live at Riley's Pub. That one starts at 10 o'clock for the midday show on Tuesday. That one should be a lot of fun. Philly Burger Brawl is also back. It's got a new date this year, Sunday, September 15th. Also a new location, Philadelphia Navy Yard. You can enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. All of the proceeds go to the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, you can go to phillyburgerbrawl.com. Real quick before we get out of here, we've got about 3 minutes left on the show before we turn it over to our friends at Checkpoint Radio. Again, 610-632-0975 if you want to jump in last minute. We're talking about these two Phillies moves, and we're also talking about some really bad throwback jerseys because the Phillies announced today that next weekend they're going to wear all burgundy jerseys to throw it back to 1979. These jerseys have zippers on them, by the way. These are some of the worst jerseys I think I've ever seen. Now, there are some really cool throwback baseball jerseys. I think the Tampa Bay Devil Rays jersey is awesome. I think the California Angel blue jersey is awesome. I think the Arizona Diamondbacks pinstripe jersey, also awesome. But then there's some really bad ones, and I think this Phillies maroon jersey kind of falls into that category.
Let me ask you something. I think the coolest era of jerseys was like the mid-90s NBA.
You
like
know,
the Rockets
with the big rocket on there. With the face on it. It's funny because the animated jerseys are either super, super well done or they're the cheesiest things in the world because you get the Rocket, which I think is not bad. I like those pinstripes. But then you get the Raptor. And the Raptor looked like he was
I kind of like the Raptor. Like the Vince Carter?
Awful. And that's it. Listen, it's a thing of opinion. I just thought they were terrible.
Yeah, like the Grizzlies. I don't know. I just thought they were awesome.
I thought the Vancouver Grizzlies jersey sick.
John Morant
put out a tweet the other day with him in the throwback. It was unreal. Real quick before we get out of here, FanFest 2019 presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's Saturday, August 24th at Xfinity Live, 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are free, but you do have to win a ticket to get in. Here's what we've got so far. All of our Fanatic hosts on site, as well as Sal Pal, Ron Jaworski, Eric Cowerbell, Tom McGinnis, and Mark Zumoff. Bikini Beach, created by Elite Landscaping. Special beach feature this year. We've got hot tubs. They've been at it courtesy of Spa, Hearth, and Home. Details coming soon on how you can register to win a FanFest soak with some special ladies. Lamborghinis and Ferraris. We've got two mobile escape rooms. That's Houdini's Challenge and Immunity Quest. They're both by one exit mobile escape room. A golf simulator with a closest to the pin contest. Ron Jaworski golf putting green. One lucky listener gets a football trip for two to the away game in Miami. You get to join the cuz, Anthony Gargano. That gives you flight, hotel, cruise around Miami, pregame, tailgate, and tickets. And that one is courtesy of phillysportstrip.com. We're also giving away a wave runner courtesy of DHY Motorsports. We'll have a 4-person 30-foot rock wall, a dunk tank, a 95-foot radical run obstacle course, Spider Mountain, a trip for four to the happiest place on earth, Disney World. Our FanFest band is the Zings, and our FanFest DJ is Mo Green. We'll have a baseball speed pitch, bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, a wiffle ball challenge dome, and a high striker strongman challenge, all courtesy of Hullage True Value. Just added, by the way, the Sixers are bringing a bunch of cool stuff. They'll bring a half court to play on. The Dunk Squad will be there, Sixers Dancers, the Stixers Squad, and the Sixers Liberty Bell. I'm pretty sure Mikey Miss is ringing us in with that one. Some of our FanFest partners, they include Family & Company Jeweler, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. And, of course, thanks to our FanFest exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge Jeep Chrysler and Ram, online at turnersvillejeep.com. And DHY Motorsports, make summer funner on a Wave Runner. Shop DHY.com. The area leader for everything power sports. Well, that's just about to wrap things up here on this abbreviated show. Again, the Soul don't have a lot of success tonight. We'll see them back next week in the playoffs. Brian McLaughlin was my producer today. He was also the audio engineer for the Soul game. So thank you, Brian, for kind of hanging as my co-host as well. Thank you guys for tuning in as well. Hope you enjoyed it. We will send things over to our friends at Checkpoint Radio. For now, I'm Tyler Zulli. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.